like in the booth, you know? So like you're like when you're recording, I think.
Yeah, so we're kind of in the cut here.
Yeah, we're in the cut. We're in the cut. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Insanely Chill. It's not the weekend edition. It's not, but alas, we are drinking. This is going to be another, not actually here. Let me restart it. Actually, we can just keep going. I'll edit it. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to Insanely Chill. Today is a special episode. I know it's supposed to be only me today, but I'm in Ibiza and I'm joined by one of my best friends, Alexander here. Johan.
Have you ever called me that before? Alexander?
Alexander. Like, no, but this is a special occasion.
It is a special occasion. It's true.
Because we're this is official, you know, we're saying we're recording.
That's true.
This is a podcast, so you kind of, you know, you got to use full first names. That's why your real name is Johan. I don't know if you want the internet knowing that, but.
No, that's fine. I mean, it's not searchable. You know, you can call me Johan all you want.
It's not searchable? It's not off the grid?
I'm totally off the grid because of Johan. Okay. So.
Alex is my close friend from college. We roomed together. We were sophomore year roommates and then senior year roommates.
That's right.
And you are a philanthropist.
Oh, I hate that.
I hate that. Why?
It's like humanitarian.
You kind of are though.
I mean, I'm transitioning out of it though.
Okay.
I don't know. Philanthropist is like Andrew Carnegie. It's like I made a ton of money and I'm going to give like a ton of money to like the arts and like humanitarian causes, you know?
But isn't being a real philanthropist like, or not, I guess like not a real philanthropist, but like it's even more philanthropic to be a philanthropist when you're not rich and you don't have a ton of money.
Yeah. I guess I feel like I was more of a development professional for a little bit.
Okay.
But it's certainly not like the career I plan on pursuing.
Okay.
But yeah.
Anyways, and you're also a well-traveled individual, and we are in Ibiza right now. We should be out drinking by the pool, which we were, so this episode will be a little bit of a drunk episode.
A little bit of a drunk episode.
We've had a few cervezas, let's just say that, all right?
Yeah.
So I thought we made this episode travel-themed.
I like that.
Yeah?
I like that. I feel weird being boastful about my travels, but I'm certainly a well-traveled guy.
You don't have to be boastful. Okay, that was boasting. No. I don't mean to be boastful, but I've been to every single country, and I'm cultured.
I've had a few experiences, you know, in various places.
So we were just in Barcelona for 2 days. We flew in. When was that? I don't even know what day it is anymore.
It was a blurry few hours in there after we arrived in Barcelona.
Yeah. We were in Barcelona. What did you think of Barcelona?
I mean, Barcelona is like one of the best cities in the world.
Oh, you had been before though.
I had. I'd been once before.
Okay.
I want to say 4 years ago. And I don't know. It's just like, I mean, what did you think?
I thought it was amazing.
I have my opinions about it. It's like this massive, massive city.
Yeah.
Like it's right on the beach. It has like a kind of like an on the beach vibe, kind of like parts of LA do, right? But then it's also like it's huge. It's really cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
And there's like so many different artists, and you can just like wander the streets and get lost. And I don't know, as cliche as it sounds, like
I don't think it's cliche. I mean, when people told me like it was right on the beach and it's like this big city that has like a beachy sort of vibe, I didn't picture it like as like urban as it was. Like we were staying in a hostel, like sort of, I don't even know, like not downtown, but like not close to the beach, not that close.
Right. But also like not like outside of like the main activities. Like we were really close to like La Rambla, which is like one of the very famous streets there in Barcelona.
But I just kind of pictured this like paradise where it was like sort of like it was more like, I don't want to say like run down than I thought, but I had this like, I don't know. I had this like idea of this perfect like beach city where everything was like cool and modern for some reason, even though like Spain is old as fuck.
So right? what is your idea of like a perfect like beach city though? Like
I don't know. Like I guess sort of, I don't want to say like South Beach, but like
because like South Beach in Miami.
Yeah, like sort of like more, and like I don't know, for some reason it just like didn't think like it would be it would feel like another European city to me for some reason. I don't know. I guess I'm just fucking ignorant, but it is. It's just like very much like very busy and like a lot of, you know, like
a lot of tourists, but
tourists and like, but it was no, like not, I'm not saying like it was bad at it by any means. I'm just saying it was like different from what I pictured.
Yeah.
Like my whole goal, my whole like travel goal this year was go to Barcelona because I had this like idea of this like beautiful beach city. And it is, it was like a lot of fun, but like for some reason it was like a little bit different than what I thought. So is Ibiza.
Ibiza is a little bit different than I thought.
What did you think?
I thought it would be, I didn't actually expect like all this like kind of like development like here in this little town.
Yeah.
Like the island is beautiful. We stayed at this like amazing spot last night. Saw like one of the best sunsets I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude, top five.
And
do you know the other best sunsets you've ever seen?
Actually, sorry to interrupt, but. No, I do. So I have one. So in Burma. One of the best sunset I've ever seen.
Wait, where the fuck is Burma?
Burma is in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, no, I knew that just for the viewers.
Cody's got great geography. Great geography skills.
I didn't know where Connecticut was for like my first 3 years in college. Just straight up didn't know. And like Devin is from there. And I went there. And I didn't know where it was on the map.
We used to like get drunk and like ask Cody like geography questions about like the 50 states and like it's like incomparable in terms of your ignorance.
Ask one right now.
Like okay, which region of the United States is South Dakota?
I know where that it's close to Montana. Okay. It's the Northwest.
It's not the Northwest.
It's the north. It's mid. The middle north.
I think it's by Iowa.
Yeah, which is also in the middle north.
The middle north. Yeah, the middle north. I like that. I like that.
That's not a term that's ever been used to describe anything geographically. Yeah, it's in the middle north. North. The old mid north.
There's no middle north even in Game of Thrones.
It does sound like a medieval, like, the Mid-North. the Mid-North, the king. Trying to take over the Mid-North. Anyways, Burma.
Burma, yeah, sorry. So, yeah, best sunset I've ever seen. I was in this place called Bagan, which has, like, all these temples from, like, probably, like, 900 to 1,000 years ago.
Okay.
One of the most beautiful places I've ever been. And I went on this little like sunset cruise on the Irrawaddy River.
Okay.
It was awesome. It was like, I was by myself. Just went out on like a long tail boat. And for whatever reason, this was also like the first time I was ever like traveling by myself, which was like really like liberating.
Loser. No, that's super cool, man. Sounds cool.
Yeah. No, I love like just being by myself.
Sweet.
So for when this podcast opportunity came up, you know, I could just tell everybody about my experience. I just foresaw that.
Burma River,
Irrawaddy River. It was really nice because you could see as the sun was setting, like it was illuminating all the temples like along the riverbed, mm-hmm. which is really amazing.
That's sick.
But yeah, I just like, you know, crushed a 6-pack of beer by myself and I don't know. It just, for whatever reason, will always be the one. It's always going to be the sunset.
That's amazing. That sounds super lonely, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's your number one.
That's my number one.
Okay.
Yeah. Number two, not so lonely. We're in Da Nang, Vietnam, which I think, have you been?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever like go out to like that little peninsula or whatever?
We weren't in Da Nang for that long. I think that's like where you get like the scooters or something. Like,
yeah,
we like passed through it or like we were there like very briefly.
Yeah. It's close to Hoi An.
Okay.
And it's the third biggest city in Vietnam, but they've got this little peninsula like kind of out, away from the city and you can see the whole city skyline from this little like kind of, I don't want to say secluded, but.
the loneliest theme continues.
No, as I said, fucking dude.
Oh, like, you're with people.
I was with someone. All right.
Okay.
I may or may not have made out with someone.
Okay.
On the fucking sunset.
All right.
On the sunset cruise.
So this is just the complete opposite.
This is
this is not lonely at all. This is very much romantic.
I don't know what it says about me, but that my number one sunset is is a lonely venture. But
and your number two is when you were hooking up with someone on a boat or something on a sunset cruise.
We climbed up on these rocks, and yeah, I mean, it's pretty much the most romantic thing I've ever done. So
really,
yeah,
wow, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah,
I'd say like last night's got to be one of my favorite ones.
It could be three for me.
What? How do you even explain it? We were on the rooftop bar of this hotel that we were staying in, and we didn't even like. We kind of like took a cab to the hotel, didn't really like get the lay of the land. And then all of a sudden we go up to the roof and it's like, we got like a 360, well, not 360, but it's like entire. No, it's
like a 360 view.
Of the ocean, basically. Yeah. And the sun starts going down. And it's just like there's sailboats parked in the water. Fucking absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Had a couple of sundowners, as the South Africans or the Australians say.
Is that a phrase?
It's a real thing, man.
Sundowners.
Sundowners.
So when you're having a drink and watching the sun go down.
Yeah, man.
Huh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Couple of sundowners.
Very interesting. And then these two girls on the roof recognized me and came over. Yeah. And one of them had a FaceTime conversation loaded up. It was already in the midst of the FaceTime. And she just puts it in front of my face and is like, or she was like, "Hey, are you Cody Ko?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she was like, "All right, I have some friends I want to talk to you." And she's like, put the it's like forced FaceTime. She like FaceTime raped me. I was like, "Oh, what's up?" Because you can't at that point. It's like, "All right, what are you gonna do?"
It was non-consensual FaceTime.
No thanks. I don't. Yeah, exactly. No thanks. Not in the mood to FaceTime right now. No, you're not gonna deny that. But it was two. It was two chodesters.
I can't. I don't think I can say that.
It's fucked up that it's like it's a real thing now. For me, that like, term chodesters. Like it's stuck completely.
And you had no intention of that happening.
No, right? I said it like off the cuff while filming one of the videos. It was like not even something I had like written down as a joke that I wanted to say. It was just like I forget it was in the Jake Paul video, I think. And I just said, "All right, chodesters." And then everyone just like started saying it and now it's like kind of stuck.
Do you know the origins of that like that slang term, like chode?
Why chode. Would I chode? It's better when you ASMR it. That's what I've realized. You ever seen ASMR?
I don't know.
It's like when people apparently really like listening to other people like whisper. It's basically ASMR is like a term for sounds that make your like make you feel good. So like make you tingle.
Oh.
So like when you hear like a sound, like you something like, for example. That's on Wooden Cup. For example.
That sound might not make us feel so good. Some other people listening might find that sound.
No, but so like people will record full videos of themselves like whispering. Like they'll read stuff and just whisper the whole thing and do like side to side. And people will listen to it and you can hear it go from ear to ear, right? Because this mic is whatever, mono, stereo. I don't know how the whole fucking thing works.
I can't believe you brought this with you.
Yeah, it's like not that heavy and I wanted to
I've seen Marcus and Sam like on the podcast so many times.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like.
But we use different different mics.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We use like, we have like a whole like mixer and like mic setup. So.
Speaking of chodesters.
Speaking of chode. It definitely is very chode. It's chodey.
Yeah. I can understand. Chode-y why, I can understand why Sam is so good at this. Just being so close to chodes.
What was it? Oh yeah, yeah. So she put the thing in front of my face and I FaceTimed with the chodesters for a little while. No hate on them. Like, it was cool that they recognized me. It was cool to talk.
No, they were good. They were like, yeah, we don't want to like bother you. Like,
no, it was cool. It was definitely cool. And it happened like a couple times in Barcelona too. Weird.
Yeah.
Weird as fuck. One thing I wanted to mention was, sorry, this is another sweaty episode. I've recorded a couple episodes in the past where I've been very sweaty because, you know, it's summer in LA right now and I don't have AC. So it's just like I'm just sweating all the time. And this is another sweaty episode because we realized that this hotel just fucking charges. Like it's like cheap, is it?
No, this is cheap. We booked this 2 nights ago and it's like it's not expensive.
Okay, yeah. It's a cheapish hotel. It's like the party hotel, whatever it's called. Like, what's it called? Ibiza Rocks or something.
Yeah.
And they charge you for it's. First of all, it's €25 for a towel. And it's €7 to use the fucking AC, to turn the AC on.
It's true.
And so being the prideful, no, we would do it. It's just like we're too lazy to walk down and get them to turn it on.
Wait, what are we prideful about?
I'm saying like being like the dude, like we're like, no, €7? Hell no.
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 I think we sweat all night.
So I apologize for that. This is another sweaty episode. We've been sweating for 4 days straight. We've been sweating.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Nonstop. My skin's breaking out from all the sweat that's just constantly on my face. This morning I was editing today's video. My face was just fucking, you saw that. It was dripping sweat.
Well, I think you went for a workout like in a sauna. And then you came out and were just.
It's funny how that.
I've never, you know.
You ever do that? Like go for like a really like run outside when it's really warm and then you just don't stop sweating for like hours afterwards?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
I had to work out though. I felt like
you're in Ibiza, man. Of course, like everyone here is like always working out, like every like 15 minutes. Like
I know. Every dude here is either British or Irish, and just jacked to the gills, tattoos all over them.
Yeah, and like as you said, like they all have the same exact body. It's like it's almost it's so admirable that they all look like that.
I know it's true. I mean, yeah, like they got to like work hard to get a body like that. It's just funny. They're all the same height. They're all like 6'1", 6'2". They're of the same body. They all have the same tattoos. The exact same haircut. But they're in groups of like they roam around in groups of like 14 dudes.
Yeah.
It's like how are they like getting into clubs and shit?
I don't know. Reminds me a little bit of
your Burma sunset.
Yeah.
No. Exactly. The complete opposite. You were alone for that. So what's your, what do you have written down?
What have I written down?
We came up with notes before this.
We did.
So we had some,
okay. Chicken. So yeah. So we covered our Spain trip.
Yeah. We wanted to make this travel themed.
I have another story from Sri Lanka. I'm not sure if I want to get into that one. Do we want to get into that one?
Why? Well, like how, what am I don't know the story. How am I supposed to know if we want to get into it?
Yeah. We also have I have another story from Vietnam. It was great.
Let's give a little bit of backstory here. Alex was in the Peace Corps for 2 years.
I was, yes. I lived in Nepal in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Great experience. Some people, like, one thing I've been really struggling with recently is people come up to me and they're like, so why did you do that? And, you know, like, typically people are, like, expecting to hear, like, oh, you know, I wanted to, like, go, like, help people. And, yeah. Like, you know, like this sort of thing. And that's certainly, like, not the case. I went because...
It's kind of a funny thing to admit.
I mean, I think, I don't know.
I mean, it's not like.
I went more for like the anthropological experience.
Okay.
I wanted to learn the language. This is another thing I hate, but like immerse myself,
yeah.
You know, and like become one of the, you know, one of the villagers per okay. se. But one of the things I realized very early on was like, that was never actually going to happen. Cause like, I will always be like a white dude from the suburbs of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it was, you know, an amazing experience and, you know, learned a lot about myself, but, what exactly did you ask me at the beginning?
I just said you were in the Peace Corps.
Yeah. Oh, and I just kind of riffed there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
And you speak Nepali.
I do speak Nepali.
Fluently.
Almost fluently. I was fluent at one point.
Okay.
I was fluent at one point, but.
Okay. So just say something. That's like the number one question when anyone asks, anyone like finds out you speak another language.
Yeah.
The number one question is always like, all right, say something. You know what I mean?
Like, Malai Boklagio.
There you go. Boom.
I'm fucking hungry.
That's what that means? Really? It's funny because I kind of am right now.
We've had a few too many beers here on
and not enough stomach. Food. That was one of the reasons we'll come back to the Peace Corps stuff in a second, but one of the reasons why I worked out this morning was that I think I've literally gained 4 or 5 pounds in the 4 days that we've been here. From eating meat and cheese and bread.
It's all prosciutto and cheese.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, the food is fucking amazing. And have we had any fish? Yeah. We had like salmon yesterday on pizza though.
Yeah.
We just had a lot of like, it's like, you know, all the corner places are like bakeries and it's like very like bread heavy. I don't know how people here, Like, it seems like everyone here is, like, relatively attractive. Like, the women, notably.
There's not, like...
extremely attractive, and everyone's, like, in shape. More so than the States, for sure.
Yeah, there's not, but it's like how? Obesity you see in the States, for sure.
How?
I don't know.
Everyone seems, like, relatively healthy, if you count smoking as... Because everyone here smokes.
Everyone here smokes. It's insane. And they have these little vending machines... Where you go and get your smokes.
Like in the club.
Get your cigs. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think you asked me about the Peace Corps because I was able to travel a lot. Like,
okay.
While I was in the Peace Corps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have this great story from Vietnam that, I don't know. Again, as cliched as it sounds.
Say cliched?
That's not a word?
I don't think it's a word. I think it's cliche.
But I think when something's like.
I think you can't like have a past tense cliche. Cliche.
But if something's like cliche, oh, maybe.
Right? Try Google it?
Yeah. If it's cliched, though, it's like already become a cliche.
Cliched. Wow, no, oh, that's actually a word.
Boom.
Holy shit, I'm totally wrong.
Showing a lack of originality. Yeah, but I guess like my love for travel, right?
Okay.
It's just like, who doesn't love to travel?
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
It's like people say that shit in interviews.
I know.
Like job interviews. Like, oh, I'd love to travel. Like, who doesn't fucking love to travel? Like,
it's the same exact thing when someone's like, when someone like is successful in some like entrepreneurial endeavor and they go, yeah, I don't know. It's like the 9 to 5 wasn't for me, you know? It's for nobody. It's for fucking nobody. Nobody wants to be in a cubicle. But like people have to do that because not everyone can succeed like entrepreneurial.
We all have to like contribute to society in some way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. It's like I couldn't, you know, bear by the rules of like a normal job and I couldn't really have a boss. And it's like, no, like, dude, nobody can.
There's so few like extraordinary like entrepreneurial people, you know?
Yeah.
Like in the grand scheme of things.
Okay.
So of course you're going to love to travel. Of course you don't like want to be like a slave to the man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I hate that shit.
Yeah. It's so true. But anyway, so give me a crazy story.
Crazy story.
You said there's a crazy story from Vietnam or something.
No, it's not a crazy story. It's just in brief. I was like traveling in Vietnam with a good buddy of mine from the Peace Corps. And we had gone out the night before, like stayed up till like 4 or 5 a.m. And the next day we had a flight to Phu Quoc, which is a beautiful island like in the south of Vietnam. But right before we got like in the cab, we stopped and got like some pho.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been out. It's like only like 7:45 in the morning. You know, we'd only gotten a couple hours of sleep. And I had this like big, gigantic bowl of pho in front of me. And I was eating it. And I finished it up. And we pay. And then we leave. And we're like leaving the market. And like the vendor, the pho vendor, like calls after us. I'm like, what? Like, what, did we like do something wrong? You know, okay. Like what is like going on? And she has this one piece of meat, like, in my chopsticks that I had, like, forgotten to eat. And she literally just put it straight into my mouth. It was hidden in this enormous pepper. And she was like, no, you forgot to eat this. And I was like, I'm assuming that's what she said, like, in Vietnamese.
Yeah.
And she, like, literally, like, fed it to me. And I was like, that is the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me.
She food raped you.
There was some consensual food rape.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And really?
I don't know. I was just like, that is the moment I like fell in love with Vietnamese people. And I was like, that is.
So she did, like, she came up and she was like,
you, she had it in this. My chopsticks, like in between the chopsticks and was just like here, like take
so
it.
So she knew that it was hidden and yeah. You didn't know about that piece.
And we had paid and we had left and she was so like keen on me making sure that I like experienced eating that piece of meat.
Do you think it was like a really good piece of meat? Like they, you know, like no, they had like the particular like, fatty one and the pepper and like.
Oh, I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe it's like the prime cut.
Just like the best tasting one?
Maybe. I mean, it seems like going through that much effort to like make sure your customer eats that.
But I mean,
she just like cared about you, I guess.
Yeah.
She and wanted to make sure you ate that piece of meat.
Yeah. And like, yeah, that's like the. I think that's my best travel story for sure.
That's your best one?
That's my best one. It's most like heartwarming one.
It's pretty great, actually. It's pretty fucking great.
Like I think back on that like very, very fondly.
I have a much, much much darker story from Vietnam.
Have you told me this one before?
Yeah, I mean, you know. The time I got that leg infection, and I mean, I've told this on YouTube before. This is like one of my videos that's that true. I did about traveling, but I didn't shit for 10 days. If you guys haven't shit for a while, like, it's horrifying. It's the scariest thing. I would rather have diarrhea for a week straight than not being able to shit for a week straight.
I love diarrhea. 10 days. I love diarrhea.
Why do you love diarrhea? It
keeps you real nice and tight.
It's actually true. In Bali, I got Bali belly or whatever.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's like basically like you just get diarrhea and throw up for like, I think it was like honestly like 2 days straight. And I lost so much weight. Just straight, I could see it in my face. My face, you know, like do you ever see, like when you lose or gain weight, you see it in your face a lot. True. Some people like girls get it a lot in their face.
That's why I like diarrhea so much.
What do you mean girls love it?
Because you're looking tight, you know? You're looking.
No, I'm saying like there's certain like people where like there's fat dudes that won't get it at all in their face.
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying? But for me, it like happens a lot in my face. Like you can tell right now, like I'm a little bit more bloated because I've been fucking eating a lot of meat and cheese and shit like that. I see it in my face. And
that's also because you're vain.
Honestly, it's probably what it is. It's me looking at myself in the mirror so much that I just I noticed the like intricacies. Yeah, we're not. So I had Bali belly for 2 days and I lost so much weight. I must have lost like 4 or 5 pounds and was looking so dope. So that's the key. Honestly, someone asked me the other day on Cameo. They were like, give me weight loss tips.
It makes me feel.
And so I was like, just get Bali belly. Easy. There you go.
We used to talk about that actually in Nepal. We would joke about how like pakla lagi obane.
Like, what is that?
It's like if like diarrhea afflicts you, like you're gonna be looking like real.
No way, really? Time.
Like, yeah, we used to be able to go into like the capital like every like few weeks or whatever. Like go to the club.
Okay,
they've got a few clubs out there. You know, and if you're looking, you know, looking good, looking pakla lagi obane, you're gonna be.
What language is that?
Nepali.
Oh, that's Nepali. Yeah. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
What's your favorite place you've ever been?
Favorite place I've ever been.
And actually, we should also talk a little bit about the Peace Corps experience.
We should. We can.
Because it's interesting. People, probably some listeners here are like interested in joining the Peace Corps at some point.
We can definitely talk about that. I will give you the... I won't sugarcoat it. That's for sure.
Okay.
But no, favorite place I've ever been, I think it's still Vietnam. I love Vietnam.
Okay.
I really, really do. I also love Amsterdam.
Oh, Amsterdam's so sick.
Amsterdam is an amazing, amazing city for so many reasons.
Barcelona's got to be up there for me now too.
Yeah. Barcelona is, it's a good one. It's a good one. But yeah.
Anyways, Peace Corps experience.
Peace Corps experience. Yeah, I mean, the thing about the Peace Corps experience is, like, people are always like, oh, what'd you miss the most? And, like, it depends who I'm talking to. It's, like, someone I, like, know. And I'm like, oh, well, sex. Like,
okay.
Who's not going to miss that?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Because you just, like, you weren't having any.
Not too often. No.
Because you were in, like, a village,
I'm
right?
A pretty solitary guy if you haven't figured this out. Yeah, I was in a village. And, like, you can't cross that line, you know? Yeah. This is another one of those, like, boundaries that you can just never cross. You know? Like, as, like, the foreigner, as the outsider.
Yeah.
And some do. Some do. It's called going native.
Okay.
Yeah, but,
going
yeah.
Going native?
Going native. I kind of think it's, like, a little bit of a fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, we might have to cut that out.
Yeah.
Sorry. Going native?
No. Like, but I also get that, like, when I'm traveling too, it's like, oh, have you ever gone native anywhere?
Like, it sounds like a white person term though, that they like that white people use for other white people.
If you like hooked up with a Spanish girl while we were here, like that would be considered going native.
Yeah, I guess native. Yeah, native to me is always like people in Canada use the term native like racistly.
Yeah.
They use it as a racist term, even though it's not like a native, like they are Native Americans.
Yeah. Like, what is the proper term, though? They're Native Canadians, right? Like,
yeah, what I don't know.
Like, Indians is the more, like, fucked up thing. We're probably going to have to cut a lot of this.
Is that fucked up?
I don't know.
Like, I mean, I don't know if they cut this or not, because I don't know if it's fucked up.
Like, I don't know. Like, Native Canadians are I don't think are referred to as Indians. But, like, in America, right, if you, like, say, like, Indians, people are like, Okay, are you talking about someone from India?
Yeah.
Are you talking about about like a Native American?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just a couple of white,
going Native,
couple
so
of white dudes talking about race. It's always gonna.
That's always good.
It's always gonna go yeah. well.
So you didn't go Native.
I did not go Native. Okay. Others go Native.
Okay.
Others go Native, which is, you know.
And you just like didn't want to cross that line.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, but as I said, like anthropological experience, learned the language, put together a project. And you really just gotta, I don't know, depends on your own like individual motivation.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do? What do you want to get out of it? And so I was always someone that was like, what the village wants, I will try and facilitate, and I'll never try and like push anything on them from like project perspective, from cultural perspective. Like Nepal is basically the complete opposite of Western culture.
How so?
Just like in their, God, just like here, I'll give you an example. Like if you're hungry and I ask you if you want some more food, right?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But in Nepal, if you're hungry, you say, no, I don't want any more food. Like I'm good.
Okay.
This is like the polite thing to do.
Okay.
And they will keep insisting and insisting and insisting until they finally like, oh, okay. And that's like the polite thing to do. Cause what you're saying is like, no, I don't need any more, but they want to show you how hospitable they can be.
Okay.
So
you're supposed to say no.
Yeah,
no,
you're supposed to say no, until they kind of like overpower you.
And do they do that as well to each other?
Yeah, they do it to themselves. If you're like if you're lucky enough to get invited to sort of a boge, as they call it,
okay.
Which is a party.
Okay.
Typically going to be all men.
Okay.
You never fill up your own glass with alcohol.
Okay.
Someone else is always like filling up like your glass for you.
Because they're being hospitable.
They're being hospitable and they want you to have a good time. So it's like, oh, you like need some more alcohol, you know?
Huh. So it's completely selfless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
in a sense where it's like.
It's just very collective. It's a very collective. So everyone is looking out for each other.
And does that like make for a good like party environment where everyone's trying to make sure everyone else is having a good time?
I mean, it gets pretty rowdy, you know.
Yeah,
everyone's
going to
be going to be drunk, but like sometimes you know, sometimes you don't want that other glass of alcohol, you know.
Yeah,
it's like here, if we want to go get another beer, we go and we get it.
Yeah.
And like if we're hungry, we go and get food ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So that's really the kind of
thing. I could just see that getting like weirdly like passive aggressive. It's like, no, dude, have another one. No, please. I don't really want it. No,
you must.
Dude, you must. Have another one.
You must.
No, dude, you have another one. No, I'm fine. No, have another one. You're good. Here, I filled it up for you, bro. Drink it, dude. I filled it up for you. Well, I filled you up one. Well, good. We filled up each other then. We filled up each other.
We did a lot of that.
Filling up each other?
Good. Just filled each other up.
What was your project?
Project? So in Nepal, you live in like typically like a mud and like brick house.
Okay.
And inside, those are like typically very dark.
Okay.
And so in Nepal, what they do is they'll go outside, they'll wash the dishes, and then they'll put the dishes like back inside, like still kind of wet. And it's like it's a pretty like moist environment.
That's some ASMR right there.
Moist. Moist. No, see, my Nepali's gotten bad because I'm trying to think of like
the Nepali word
oh, fuck. I don't know if there is one for like wet.
That's not a Nepal. That's an English word.
No, I know. But
are you saying like one for, okay.
Yeah. One for, yeah. Wet.
Well, hey, think about it.
Yeah, I'll get it.
I'll come back to it.
Yeah, but I'll come straight back here with it.
Hey, just going overboard with the ASMR.
Yeah. So they'll put these dishes back inside their homes and it breeds bacteria. So what we did is we put together a project where the individual households were investing their own amount of money into these outdoor dish drying racks. And so what they were is they were basically made out of like bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously there's some money in like gathering up those resources and stuff. And so we were able to get a little bit of money from outside, and the community donated a little bit of money. The individual households invested a little bit of money, and they're all able to like build these little outdoor dish drying racks so that their dishes would dry in the sun.
Oh, word.
So,
did you like, did it like work? Like,
yeah, I mean, it worked. They're all still there. I get pictures like all the time. Like,
really?
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah.
That's so cool. You like made it a fucking.
Yeah. And it like definitely, I mean, it took like 9 months of kind of being in this village and like having these people like understand why I was there.
Okay.
So,
and like you learning like what they really need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like what they could need.
Yeah. And like probably one of the biggest initial challenges was when I first got there, they thought I was like this all knowing, like person. Cause I was like this foreigner, you know, I was from America.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, like, what can we do about this? What can we do about this? And I was like, I don't know anything about like irrigation.
Yeah.
You know, like I have no expertise in irrigation. So yeah, it's kind of where it went.
So then they're like, all right, well, like, we like dry our dishes outside.
I've got some expertise in that.
And you said you remember you telling me you couldn't go outside for a lot of like you spent a lot of time reading, right? Because like it's so hot there that you can't even.
Yeah, in what is like the American summer, it's the monsoon season over there, so it's just like humid and
moist
and. And yeah, so I spent a lot of time like in those couple months, like reading a lot, which was great. It was good for me, like personally.
And developing a permanent farmer's tan.
A permanent farmer's tan.
As you've said, right?
Because the UV radiation is it radiation? I don't know.
I don't know.
You know what's refreshing about your podcast?
What?
Is I feel like you can say something and then kind of question yourself.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the case with... I think that's the case with a lot of podcasts, no?
But can you look that up right now, if it's UV radiation?
Yeah. UV. Yeah. Yeah.
UV radiation.
Yeah, it is. Ultraviolet. UV rays. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess...
So it's high there?
Yeah.
So, really?
Yeah. So you're like closer to it. And like, you can't really take off your shirt.
So you just got hella tanned on the lower part of your legs and your arms and your legs.
Yeah, I'm trying to even it out here.
And it just hasn't been working for the past however long. No. Cool.
So, yeah. Dude, can I ask you some questions?
Sure, go for it.
What do you got? Let's see what I have. I wrote some stuff down here.
He's a better host of this podcast than I am. He wrote some shit down and I didn't. What do you got?
What?
It's just getting hotter and hotter in here.
What is your favorite thing to do in terms of like, okay, you have this podcast,
mm-hmm.
you also have your YouTube stuff,
mm-hmm.
you have your, am I allowed to ask this question?
What?
You also have your stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Like what's your absolute favorite thing to do? I don't really have a full understanding of like, of just what it's like to do what you do, you know?
Yeah,
like we honestly do like two like very different things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just curious what your favorite thing is to do.
I mean, this podcast is definitely becoming one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
It's becoming one of my favorite like mediums because it's actually like even like me and you have known each other for years and years. We've been best friends and it's like, these things like when you have a conversation uninterrupted for 45 minutes to an hour, like you really learn about someone. Like, you know what I mean? Like we never really talk about this stuff.
Yeah, sure.
We do, but it's like, it, you know, a lot of the times it's like, whatever, it's lighter, it's over beers and we don't really get into it. Right. But in this context where you're like thinking about like other people, like wanting to learn about that experience and stuff, you really dive deeper into this stuff.
Yeah.
Sure. So I think it's becoming one of my favorite mediums. And I also like interviewing people that I don't really know that well. Like, you know, people like Zane and who I'm friends with, but I've never really had a conversation with them for an hour.
Sure. Justin, like people like that.
Yeah. And it also helps a lot in terms of like stand up and stuff. Because you can just explore you know what I mean? It's like lightweight. Like you come up with a topic and you just like explore it for 10 minutes on the mic, you know? That being said, I love, like, there's no feeling like after you get off the stage on a, like, doing stand up. There's definitely no feeling like that. Like, that's unreal. So that's, like, becoming one of my favorite things to do, just because, like, it makes me so nervous. And then after I get off stage, or even, like, just making people laugh on stage.
Sure.
And I'm sure people have heard this before, but it's, like, that feeling is so, like, addictive.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But then I also really like acting. And I also really like doing YouTube. So it's, like, I like them all. I don't even know. Like, that's why I'm doing...
You're in good shape for your Seth Meyers interview, dude. Like, this is what I feel like every sort of, like, person says. Like, he asks that kind of question. They're like, I really like this, but I also like this, and I also like
yeah,
this, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, the way I see it right now is just, like, go hard on as many things as I can do, right? Like, you know, I'm reaching the max in terms of, like, time spent. Like, I want to, like, basically, like, I'm trying to post, like, at least 2 YouTube videos a week on my main channel, 2 on the podcast channel, and then, you know, do, like, once a month stand-up show.
Yeah.
And then do auditions as well. So I'm, like, reaching, like, the max, but I'm, like, trying to, like, go as hard as I can on all of those things.
Yeah, sure.
Until, like, one of them,
dude, you're like,
works.
It's like Childish Gambino, just doing everything.
Yeah, but I'm not Donald Glover.
That dude literally does everything, though, right? Is there someone,
it's the same, yeah,
Ansel Elgort. Can you think of anyone that does more things than
not
him?
Not more, but Ansel Elgort is, like, a great, like, comparison. It's okay, same with Jamie Foxx. Like, there's dudes out there that are just fucking artists, you know?
Just Renaissance men.
It just, yeah, it just doesn't matter what medium they pick up. They're just creative dudes, and they're going to excel in that medium.
I'm just, I can't even say it's envy, because I just know that I could never do anything like that, and it's just so impressive to me.
Yeah, yeah. Know? No, I think it's one of the most impressive things. Yeah. It's just cool, you know? It's like people just fucking love good art, no matter what the medium is. And if you can excel in multiple of those things, it's like... It's cool. It's cool mostly because most people excel in one and they focus on one.
Yeah.
But I think, like, most creative individuals, if you're disciplined and creative, like, you can actually excel at multiple things. And I think, like, that's the case for, I mean, you don't even have to be, everyone's creative. That's my,
really?
That's my thing right now that I think. Yeah. Is that everyone is more creative than they
give themselves
credit for.
I don't know, man. Pure creativity, I think, is such a rare thing. Like, I think people can be, like, innovative, and, like, especially when it comes to, like, processes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have, like, a good idea about how to, like, streamline things.
Okay.
But, like, pure creativity, like, that's so admirable to me. Like, you're just coming up with something brand new, even if it's, like, a podcast or a YouTube channel or, like... I don't know. Well, like, or you're writing a TV show. Like, that's like, you're creating something from nothing. Like, I don't think I have that.
No. This is my theory, is that that's hard for everyone. Like, that's literally hard, even for the most creative people that say, like, they love, you know, like, people that make music and they're like, I love making music. I never want to stop making music and all this stuff. I know that when they sit down and there's a blank canvas, that's intimidating for them, no matter who it is. Like, this is what I have a friend, a close friend. She's a writer, and now she's writing on the new season of True Detective or something like that. She's, like, amazing, very, very talented, very gifted. But she told me, like, one day, she's like, do you make yourself write? And I was like, yeah, but it's like, it's a thing that I have to sit down and make myself do. I don't enjoy the blank page. I don't. And she was like, that's what it is. Yeah. She's like, writing is one of the most, like, the hardest things, because it's intimidating, and you know, you kind of psych yourself out. But it's like, once you break through that, like, initial phase.
That's really surprising too, because I, like, know this, like, individual as well. And like, for her, like, I would just always assume that they could sit down and just come up with something, like, hilarious.
No, she was like, it's a, you know, it's something that you got to make yourself do. And it's like, I forget exactly how she put it, but, like, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, I guess. But, like, in a sense, it's a miserable thing, like basically making yourself do this. But, like, and it's the same thing with editing. It's the same fucking thing with, like, when I wrote the song. It's like just making yourself do it and going through that, like, initial phase where it's like, this is shitty. And then it's finally near the end. It's like, wait a minute. Like, this is actually, like, something that is cool, and I made it from scratch. And now this is the most rewarding feeling ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the same thing with programming for me too.
Yeah, but that's inherently creative thing. Like, it's an inherently
I don't think it's inherently creative. I think it's like
discipline.
I think it's it's, I mean, it's like it, when you boil it down, it's ones and zeros. It's by definition, quantitative. I don't think that's, but like once you're at a higher level and you're like coming up with solutions to problems, then I feel like it gets creative. But like for the most part, there is like a way to complete something that you should know. I don't know. No. Maybe I'm wrong.
Mm. Well, if I have one request as we like,
yeah, we're winding it down. We're
winding it down.
Yep.
To all the chodesters out there. Tweet at this guy. Tell him and Devin to do another fucking question and answer video because it's so goddamn funny.
Not your average Q&A.
Not your average Q&A.
Okay. No, we'll do it. We'll do it.
Yeah.
We did one with Marcus. It's really? I have the footage.
It's not a public.
I've half edited it. And I, for some reason, I just like stopped editing. And so I think it's funny. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, so maybe I'll, this. We can watch it. Maybe I'll drop it, as they say. Hate that term. Fucking hate that term. All right, guys. Do you want to promote anything? Do you want to like get, do you want them to follow you on it?
No, I do not want to be followed. I do not have anything to promote.
All right.
So
never mind then. This is refreshing. Cheers, guys. Cheers. We're going to go enjoy Ibiza. Probably be out all night partying. And if you the drill. If you like this podcast, go ahead and rate it on iTunes. I think we're almost at 800 ratings now, which is crazy.
Wow.
Dude, we hover now. Since I put this on YouTube, we like Insanely Chill hovers around like 30 on the podcast charts. It's crazy. Wow. So yeah, thank you guys for the support. Donate to my Patreon, patreon.com/CodyCo. Or actually, no, you know what? This is something that I wanted to plug. This is what I always do. I fucking plug as many things as I can. And this is the moment where everyone turns this shit off. That's the moment.
Especially now because we're like a little bit drunk. You know? We're like winding this out a little bit. Like we've lost pretty much everyone except for, you know.
The most dedicated chodesters. guys, my merch is out. And it's represent.com/CodyCo. It's a shirt that says merch on it. It's fucking hilarious. It's the funniest thing I've ever done. I was going to talk about this on this episode if it was just going to be me, just because like I wanted to talk about like my thought process and stuff. I've had this idea now for like a long time. And then I finally did it and people are like, what's a shirt that says merch on it? This is fucking lame. Like I'm going to wait till you have actually good merch. But I think it's good. I think because it's so bad, it's good.
I mean,
that's why I do it.
Corinna killed it in the last video.
Oh yeah, she had that shit
merch,
on
merch tee.
Yeah,
yeah.
So cop one, guys. It's only going to be available for like another 10 days, I think, from this podcast coming out, and then you'll never be able to buy a merch shirt again. So go and get one. And I thank you to people who have already bought one. It's cool. It's awesome, and I appreciate the support. So that being said, we will see you on Sunday with the weekend edition, but I guess I'm gonna have to interview Nick.
Yeah, you'll have to talk about whatever you guys are doing on Saturday. The boat race. That'll be good. You'll have plenty of
I'm going to London. We're gonna go to like a black tie thing. It's gonna be crazy. And I'll talk to him about startups and stuff.
Yeah,
because he now runs his own business.
He'll have something to promote. That's for sure. That's for sure.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you next time.
Peace.